Now we can, even though we may have cold hands, we can have the joy of the Lord in our lives. And that is actually what I want to speak on today is there's a verse in the Old Testament, in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. There's a phrase, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." And, you know, that is something that every Christian can have. They can have love, they can have joy, they can have peace. You know, in the book of Galatians, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. There's nine fruit, and the first three are love, joy, and peace. And I want to emphasize today talking about joy, that we can have joy in our lives. The joy that the world cannot give, that the world cannot take away, we can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's a verse in Romans, it says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it says it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Every one of us can have joy in our life. You know, and the joy starts first of all when we become a Christian. When we hear the good news that we can be forgiven of our sins, that we can have Jesus in our heart, and then we'll receive Him, part of the package, if you want to say, part of heaven, being born again, having Jesus in our life, is that we can have joy in our life. There's actually a verse in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, says, "Therefore with joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation." And that is saying part of salvation, part of being saved, is having joy. You know, joy is something, you can be happy. And the Bible does talk about happiness. Sometimes people think happiness is just related to circumstances. But there's actually, you look in Proverbs, it says, he that keeps God's word will be happy. But joy is something that springs up from inside of you that is not necessarily dependent on the circumstances around you. It is because you have a relationship with God. You have the Holy Spirit inside your life, and you can have joy. You can be rejoicing in the Lord. Sometimes we have to prime the well a little bit by saying, "I will rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord." And again, I say rejoice. But I want to talk this morning about how we can keep that joy at all times. I don't know if you ever go through circumstances. Todd here was mentioned something that happened with his parents. You know, I had something happen this last year. I got a little involved in some investments that didn't expect examine as fully as I could have. And, you know, I had to like live a life of faith and say, which we should always be doing, and say, "God's going to bring me through." And I'm not going to lose my joy about whatever happened. And I believe God's going to restore everything. But every Christian can have joy and peace and love to an overflowing part in our life. There's almost two parts to those, each of those things. We can choose to love people. We can choose to be at peace with people. We can choose to have joy. But we also are thankful that the Holy Spirit is bubbling up within us that joy, that love, that peace. And so here in Nehemiah chapter 8, it says this phrase, verse 10, the last part, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." And it's it relates a little bit to this time of the year. We're from a Gateway church, and they have on the first Friday of each month, they have what they call a messianic service. And it's, so it's for... You raised your... Oh, that's great. And so the messianic service are people who are from a Jewish background, and they're Christians, they're born again, and then some of us who aren't, as far as we know, have any Jewish in us by blood, but we still go, it's a great service. But so they remember the different feast days that happen during the year, and this last month has been a lot of stuff going on because they had the start of the Jewish New Year, and then they also now they have what's called the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles is mentioned here in Nehemiah chapter 8. And the Feast of Tabernacles is to remember the time that the Israelites came out of Egypt And before they went into the promised land, they were living there in the wilderness, and so they had these little tabernacles. Some of them may have had tents, but some of them had tabernacles where they just built little huts. I actually got to visit Friday night Gateway. They had a little booth out in back of the church, and they had refreshments after the service, so we went out in the booth. And then yesterday I visited a little, shouldn't say little, a Messianic church over in Richardson. And so they had a ceremony, and they had like a little booth. It was like almost a lean-to, and they had stuff on top of it, almost like a lattice on the sides and the top. But it was to remember how the Israelites, during when they were coming out of Egypt and before they got to the Promised Land, they lived for 40 years in these little temporary dwellings. And this is to remember that God provided for them during that time, and God can provide for us now. And so as Christians, we are not under the law, we are under grace. You know, we sing that song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We're thankful for the grace of God that saves us and keeps us and gives us the power to live right. And part of that grace is we can say the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we can rejoice in God. And so here in Nehemiah chapter 8, it actually, I won't read the chapter, but you can see that the people, they had come out of captivity and they had returned from Babylon back to their homeland there in Israel. And they, the ministers, if you want to say the priests, were reading the word of God to them. I'll read here Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 9. And Nehemiah, which is the Tershaba, and Ezra, the priest of the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Verse 10, then he said unto them, go your ways, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so these people, they had started, they gathered together a great crowd of them. It may have been up to 50,000 people. And here these priests were talking to them, and they were reading the word of God to them, and the people were listening. If you read right here in the beginning of the chapter, they were there from morning until noontime. That's a pretty hungry people for hearing the word of God, to be there from morning until noontime. That could be 5 hours, 5 or 6 hours. They were listening. They had a hunger for the word of God. And so there are three things I wanted to share about having the joy of the Lord. We're talking about the joy of the Lord is our strength, and three things that we can do. And I'm so happy to see so many people have brought their Bibles today. You know, nowadays you can have a real Bible, and you can even have a Bible on your cell phone nowadays and just pull it up. Lots of ways to hear the Word of God. But the people in this chapter, they were glad to hear the Word of God. And you know, the wonderful thing is that when we spend some time in God's Word, we're almost like priming that pump. I mean, it's the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is working together with the Word of God. And when we read the Word of God, Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. There's power in God's Word, and we can put God's Word into us. Keep on planting it in just by turning it, opening it up, and reading a few verses or a chapter. And here we read this thing where it says, the joy of the Lord is our strength, and we can renew our strength in Him. You know, I'm reminded of a verse in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. It says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And when we spend some time in God's Word, we're renewing our strength, and we can say the joy of the Lord is our strength. So, I said there's three things we can do to keep that joy. Number one, spend some time in God's Word. Every Christian, after they're born again, I would hope they have an appreciation. It's like, I want to hear more of God's word. You know, we sometimes sing that song, "Tell me the old, old story." And, you know, we may have heard some of the verses and read the Bible before, but it bears repeating. If we can hear it again, tell me that old, old story. We can hear his promises again, and we can stand on his promises. We can rest on his promises. And so the word of God is precious and wonderful. And then the second thing that we can do is that hopefully none of us have any sin in our life, but if we have to check ourselves up and say, God, is there anything in my life that is standing between me, you, God? There's a verse in the Psalms that says, "Search me, O God, and try me, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And so sometimes we can just simply pray and say, God, show me if I am being deceived, if I'm being tricked by something, and I am not listening to you or to your word. You know, all of us would like to be able to say, I can hear from God. And I do want to hear from God, but I also want to be quick to check myself up against the Word of God and say, am I doing what the Word of God is saying? And I'm always glad, too, if there's a Christian brother or sister who has something encouraging or maybe even something that I can correct in my life. But we want to hear the Word of God, and we want to repent if we've done something wrong. There's a Psalm 51 is a great psalm where David, he had sinned. We won't go into all the details, but he had done some serious things wrong. But in Psalm 51, I want to read three verses here. Psalm 51, verses 10 through 12. David said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Verse 12, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." You know, it's a wonderful thing to have joy as a Christian. And we should have a smile on our face because of what Jesus has done in our heart. If things are going great, we can rejoice in that. But even if things are not going as well as we like, we can still have our joy in Jesus. And here David, he had realized his joy was missing. You know, that's something sometimes as a Christian, that is something that can evaporate if we don't watch it. One day we can be having the joy, and the next day we might be a little down, a little discouraged. And we can get that joy back in our life. And that's what I want to encourage you today. Every Christian can be full of joy, overflowing. I like to have a little more joy, but, you know, I'm thankful for the joy I've got. And we want to just trust God for that. And so we can spend some time in His Word. And then if there's anything standing between us and God, we can say, God, help me to get anything that doesn't belong in my life out of my life. You know, there's a great verse in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. I have it memorized. It says, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And so when we are Christians, when we are born again, right away we're right with God. But if we do sin, you know, we can almost have a little cloud that comes and tries to separate us. But the wonderful thing is, if we just right away say, God, I ask you to forgive me, ask you to forgive me of any sin, and I want you to restore that joy. I want you to restore that sense of righteousness in my life, and God will do it. That's a prayer that is guaranteed to be answered. And we say, God, forgive me if I have done something wrong. And here David said, verse 10 of Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And verse 12, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." So David, back in the Old Testament, he wanted that joy. And we can have that joy overflowing in our life. And then the third thing that we can do. So first of all, we want to spend some time in God's Word. We're not under the law. I'm not saying that you have to read 5 chapters a day or something, but you know, it's good if you can read to open the book and read a few chapters, read His promises, and then if we want to check ourselves, no unconfessed sin. You know, I sometimes have a little phrase, keep short accounts. We don't want to hold on to something. We don't want to play with sin. We want to have short accounts. As soon as we're aware of it, we want to ask God to forgive us of our sins. And then number three is we want to have an ongoing attitude of staying away from things that will rob our joy. Staying away from unrighteous things. You know, I don't watch a lot of movies, but you know, every once in a while I'll get invited by a friend or something to go to the movie theater or something. And you have to be careful. Even in some of the, before you watch the main movie, they're showing other movie introductions or whatever, trailers or ads. And there's some ungodly stuff out there. And, you know, it can come in a lot of forms. It can come on TV or different ways. And I'm not just want to single out movies, but we don't want to put bad stuff into our life. You know, Jesus said, I think it's in Luke, take heed what you hear. Sometimes it's time to turn off bad stuff. Just turn the power off or say, I'm not going to stay here. I'm not going to listen to something that is not of God. And so I want to read a verse here from Hebrews chapter 1 that relates to, I'm flipping in my Bible, but Hebrews chapter 1 that relates to this verse to what I'm talking about. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9. It says, today I've got my King James Bible, so please bear with me on that. It says, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And so that's King James English, but gladness and joy sort of go together. They're not exactly the same words, but gladness and joy go together. And it's saying that here, you have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. It's saying you love the right things and hate the wrong things. It says God is going to anoint you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. You know, and when we talk about anointing, that's referring to the Holy Spirit. That every one of us who's a Christian has a Holy Spirit in our life, but He can anoint us with a greater sense of joy, a greater sense of gladness in our heart, simply by saying no to some wrong things and saying yes to the good things. And I want to compliment every one of you for being here this morning in this our little church service. You've chosen to go the way of righteousness. You've chosen to say, I want to hear God's word and sing God's word and sing His praises, and I want to compliment you on that. And so I want to encourage you, and I encourage myself. You know, sometimes it may seem a little innocent thing to, you know, a person may be bored or something and watch some movie or something or look at something that is not of God, that is ungodly. And I want to encourage you, our little decisions can have an effect on our joy. We don't want that joy to evaporate. We want that joy to be full and strong in our life. And here we have God's promises. Promise. Hebrews 1, verse 9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And I want to just continue on this theme. I'm going to turn to John chapter 15. And it is a great verse here about joy also. And it all relates to this overall topic here. In John chapter 15, verse 11, it says, Jesus is speaking. Actually, John 14, 15, 16, and 17 are mainly the words of Jesus. If you have a Bible that has it in red, you can see these chapters are in red. Is John 15, verse 11, and Jesus says, these things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So Jesus is saying, what he said there up to that point in John 15, he says, I have said these things to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. So you can say, how do I stay full of joy? Well, you can go back and read the first 10 verses. And I won't read every one of them, but it relates to what we're saying. John 15, verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So Jesus is making a comparison. He said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. That's almost like if I was to, I want to say this humbly, if my body was the vine, and here's my arm is like a branch. And Jesus is saying, we have to stay connected to Jesus. We have to be abiding in him. And then it says there in verse 11, these things I've spoken unto you that your joy may be full. And so when we become a Christian, we're connected to him, but we want to let that, if you want to say that, resurrection power from Jesus flow out to the branch. We're the branch. And I want to read a verse here, verse 7, John 15, verse 7. It's a great promise on prayer, but it also relates to this whole topic. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And so what is Jesus saying? He says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. So we don't want to, as Christians, take a vacation from being a Christian. That maybe sounds like pretty simple, but we always want to be living for God every day, all the way. You know, just like when a person is married, I'm single, and some of us here from Gateway Church were single, but you know, if a person was married, they don't take a break from being married for a day or half a day or an hour. They're married 100% of the time, right? Here we got Charles and Mr. Patty who are married. You're committed. And that's the way for us as Christians, we want to say, no breaks from being a Christian. No, you know, shortcuts, no stopovers. We're living for God 100% all the time. And I believe as we do that, we got a claim to that joy being full in our life. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So that gets us back to, I want to encourage you, and I'm thankful. I see all these Bibles here. Spend some time in his word. Read his word. His word, Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they're spirit and they're life. God's word will bring peace and joy into our life as we hear it, as we obey it. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. And so we're thankful to God for answered prayer as we have his word abiding in us, and we're abiding in him, and then we can have this joy that it says here in verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And I want to just turn to one last place here before we close, in Hebrews chapter 12, and this all relates together. You know, in John chapter 1, it talks about, John 1, verse 14, it talks about the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And who was that talking about? It was talking about Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And here in Hebrews 12, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which just so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And the two things I want to share from that, what I just read there, Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And how can we look unto Jesus? Partly by looking at Him and hearing His Word. And it says, verse 1, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. You know, when we share the Word of God, we're not going around and checking up on anybody. It's between you and God. It's not between us. You know, when my children were growing up, one thing I said to them, I can't watch you all the time. You're going to have to make good decisions on your own. And that's the way it is for us now as Christians. Nobody is like, maybe you have a spouse that's checking up on you, but I don't. But I know I have to answer to God. And even though somebody's not watching me at home or wherever I go, I still want to live for God. I want to be pleasing to God. And here...
Someone makes you do good. You don't get credit for that good. You have to choose it yourself and be great.
Choose it yourself, yeah. So, So here in Hebrews it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And it says, let us lay aside every weight. So we don't want to be sin conscious. We want to be Jesus conscious. And we want to say the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so I want to pray, and then we're going to sing a couple more songs. And if you have any prayer requests, we're glad to pray with you here at the end. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for everyone here. We just thank you that you love them with a great love. We just thank you that we can read your word. We can hear your word, that your word is true. And we can stand upon your promises, like that song says, standing on the promises. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that we thank you for you said the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so, Lord, we pray your joy in a greater measure upon each man and woman here today. We just thank you, Lord, that they can rejoice in you, that will bubble out of them today, the joy of the Lord. We thank you and praise you for this. Lord, we can choose to rejoice in you, and we can have your joy bubbling out of us. And so, Lord, we thank you that today you give each man and woman here your peace, your love, and your joy in a greater measure, that they will feel the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They will rest in your peace that passes understanding, and they will rejoice in you. We thank you and praise you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.